but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
We've got a Civil War football game that is going to be kicking off on Saturday, Autzen Stadium. Here to talk about it, Oregon State coach Trent Bray. He's played in this series. He has coached in this series. He knows a little bit about the rivalry, and he's joining us now. What are your memories as a player, Trent Bray, when you go back to your playing days of the Civil War?
Yeah, it was always the end of the year. It was always a great, you know, rivalry, fun atmosphere, whether you were at Austin or at Research. It was just great. And then, you know, we had some really good games and was a part of some really good Civil War games.
How do you get guys that don't grow up here or maybe not in it, newcomers to your program, transfer portal era, Malik Murphy, how do you get those guys to understand the rivalry, or do you just focus on the football and hope that they get the rivalry by osmosis?
Yeah, I think you focus on the football game and then what you got to do to beat the team you're playing. And then I think they'll feel all the rest of it. They'll feel the intensity that there is with the fan bases, and I think that's where they're going to get it the most.
One of the Oregon players called you guys the little brother this week. I don't know if you heard the clip, but I'm going to play it for you because I think it would be important. Now, I haven't heard this kind of trash talking since maybe Richard Siegler and Kevin Lewis were in this game back in the day. Were you guys allowed to trash talk before I play the clip? Were you guys allowed to trash talk at all? Did your coaches say, hey, be quiet, it's rivalry week?
It was encouraged not to, but it happened quite a bit, yeah.
All right, here we go. Oregon linebacker Jerry Mixon.
It's a big rivalry game. Everybody pop out in Oregon. And just from being here, that they're our little bros, and we go out there and kick their ass.
He called you guys the little brothers. Is that gonna be heard in your locker room?
I assume it will be. Yeah, I'd probably be pretty positive it will be.
Because I don't know these days with bulletin boards, what do kids care about? You know, like back in the day, there was a bulletin board. I don't think there is anymore.
Well, back in the day, you had to put it on the bulletin board so they could see it. Now with the right? Social media and everything, I'm sure they've already digested it.
They probably moved on to something else. All right, help us out. A couple things. Maybe this is something you don't want to give away, but are you going to snap the ball on a punt in a normal fashion this week?
We'll leave that up for Oregon to find out on game day.
Okay. All right. I like that. What do you see when you look at Oregon on film?
You know, there's talent. Extremely and depth and talent. They're a really, you know, explosive team offensively. Good up front. Really, really good skill players. And then the quarterback, you know, Dante has improved a ton since last time I saw him, which was when he was at UCLA up here, which is normal. You're 3 years into it. You're second year into running the same offense. I think that's important. And he's been tremendously better from then. And then on defense, they just got, you know, really good up front. They're you know, their front and their backers are really, really talented and really active, and make it, you know, and the back end's talented as well. But having those front guys, you don't have much time to hold the ball.
What do you see better with Dante specifically? Because you schemed for him a year ago or 2 years ago when he was at UCLA, and now you're seeing him again all this time later. I mean, I'm sure you see growth in quarterbacks all the time, but do you see a different player, different mindset, more comfortable player? What do you see?
Yeah, different player. More comfortable, way more comfortable in the pocket. You know, and like most young quarterbacks, when he was at UCLA, you could disrupt him pretty good in the pocket by just being around him. And he's much more comfortable and sits in there and delivers the football. And and is really unfazed by things. And so I think that's been his biggest growth.
Your athletic director, Scott Barnes, came on the show yesterday. He gave you a vote of confidence. He said, basically he's in it with you. And you guys are together. I want to play his clip.
The one thing I'll tell you that Trent Bray, Scott Barnes, and Beaver Nation all have alignment on is that we're all frustrated and perhaps a little perplexed right now. And as I just got off the phone with Trent a few minutes ago and reminded him we're in this together and we're going to figure it out. But the state of things is challenging, and that's when Beavers come. That's when Beavers step up and figure it out and move it forward.
What's that phone call like with you and your AD?
Yeah, no, it's always good to know that the people that are, there to support you and helping you get through this, because it is a difficult time. And so it's good to have someone like that support you. And he's right. I mean, as far as this program, these coaches, these players, we're unwavered by the struggle that we're going through. And we know if we just continue to run into the storm, we're going to come out the other side.
Do you feel like after last week, because I know you were frustrated after the game with the effort, did you address that? I'm sure you talked to your team. And when you look at their eyes, can you tell, are you going to have guys jogging to the ball on a screen pass?
I would certainly hope not. Yeah, we watched it and we addressed it. And, the biggest thing for guys to understand, you don't know when those plays are going to happen. You don't know when you're going to be the factor, so you have to chase the ball relentlessly every time. And there wasn't a ton of examples of it, but there were key examples, especially on those third downs, where when it didn't happen, it really cost us.
I was watching a youth football game, I think it was on Sunday, and there was a running back for a team. He didn't get the ball. The ball was a pass play down the field, but he trailed the play, and he was running so hard, Coach, that he came behind the play, and all of a sudden a defender stripped the ball, and the ball's on the ground. Guess who jumps on it? That running back who was, 20 yards away from the play ends up on the football. And no one notices it, doesn't really show up in the stats. And I'm like, that kid just saved his team a possession. Like, it's the little things, isn't it?
It is. And then I always remember and show it to guys at the beginning of kind of when we talk about how we want to be culture-wise, the play with Katana Oladapo right here in Reeser when we're playing Washington. They pop a 50-yard run, the guy looks like he's going in, and Katon goes up, strips him from behind, and we recover the fumble, and it's a huge change in the game and saves us. So there's absolutely, those plays are crucial.
Trent Bray with us, Oregon State coach. Your plan, you got a plan, like a long-term plan and a short-term plan for this operation. And can you share some of the long-term bullet points with us?
Yeah, I mean, the long-term, like we're establishing – what we want this culture to be, and it's a little tougher nowadays than it was when I was here previously with Jonathan, from the standpoint of you don't have guys as long. And so it's retention number one, bring in the high school kids, being able to develop them through a couple of years where they know the standard, they know what to do. And you're always going to have to plug and play with portal guys because you're going to lose guys that are going to get poached from you. So there's always going to be that, but you got to have a baseline of guys that know what the standard is, know what the operation is all about, and they drive the locker room. And as you add pieces to it, they create and police the locker room.
What would make you really happy, aside from a win? I'm looking more for like symptoms. Like when you go out in Saturday's game against Oregon, You look up and you see guys just playing hard, playing with a lot of heart, playing disciplined, lining up right, no dumb penalties. I mean, what kinds of things, what are the markers that you're looking for that, may lead you to success eventually down the season, but that you're really looking to see?
Yeah, I think it's playing clean football from an operation standpoint, and then being physical and competing like crazy. And flying around and hitting people and forcing your opponent to make plays on you, not waiting for them to make a play, is kind of how I see it.
Did you know that this rivalry, the Civil War, has got a trophy? Are you aware of this?
I did.
Okay, so what is the trophy? Do you know it?
The Palatifos Trophy.
All right, you got it. See, I think the big thing that's been missing from this series is the trophy, right? At the end of the game, like when you were playing, you guys beat Oregon, what, you should have had a trophy. And instead, you know, everybody was like, where is, you know, we, nobody knows where it is. Well, they have it now, and ESPN Game Day is doing a big story on it. And today, Dan Lanning found out. He didn't know there was a trophy. Now he knows. You know. I feel like if the coaches talk about it a little, maybe this thing will take on a little more life. So, like, you know, if you talk to you guys, yeah, go ahead.
I'm always skeptical. I worked with a guy who started one at UConn and got quite a bit of, you know, negative press for doing that. So okay. I'm always a little cautious about that.
A little cautious. But a platypus makes sense. Like, it's a duck, it's a beaver, right? Like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what I need you to do is, like, in some one of your speeches, just kind of work it in. Like, we got to go get the platypus trophy. And then look at your guys' reactions and see if they even, like, what? What are you talking about? what's going on?
Look at me cross-eyed. Yeah.
Yeah. Defensively, I know you haven't been happy with the defense, but when did you play your best defense? It probably was in week two against Fresno State, but what was happening? When did you feel like you were at your best on defense?
Yeah, I thought there was, the first two games, I think, there's a lot of improvement from where we were a year ago. In certain areas, run defense has been much better than it was a year ago, against a tougher schedule than it was a year ago. And then third down defense has been tremendously better. We've in two games against Cal and Texas Tech, we let the ball get thrown over our head too much. That's really been kind of the big thing that's plagued us, early in this season.
I am watching you, and you're frustrated, and fans are frustrated, and your AD spoke to it. You've got some heat in some of these news conferences. I don't know if you see that coming or not when you walk into the news conference, and it's probably not your favorite thing to do during the week, but how do you sort of manage that and keep your head high and your focus while you're getting some noise?
Yeah, it's the same thing that you teach your players and tell your players. You can't let outside opinions and affect who you are or how you come to work. That's kind of how I was raised, growing up in this business, and just understand that that's part of it. When you win, they love you, and when you don't, they hate you. And that's just part of it, and you can't let it affect you or let your self-esteem or who you believe yourself to be, your confidence, be affected by those things.
I am eager to see you guys play. I think we're really going to get to see you play. It might be a month from now where you look and go, okay, you pulled yourself out of maybe some of the funk you were in the first 3 weeks, but you got a tough task with Oregon, and you got to hang on to your locker room. And I know you address that with guys, but how do you handle that with fellow coaches? Do you have to huddle together as coaches and go, look, we have to sort of exude the confidence level and the culture and the togetherness, because these guys are going to, players will sniff it out in a heartbeat if they know that coaching staff isn't unified.
No question. And yeah, it's not letting the circumstance change who we are. So we can't show up tomorrow because we're 0-3 and treat the players different than if we were 3-0. And so it's not all of a sudden their fault. It's not, we're looking to solve their problems. That's our job as coaches. And so we got to be on the same page and together as coaches so we can do that for the players.
The one thing you've been most frustrated with, maybe from an outside view, help us understand what you don't think maybe media or fans understand about what's going on with you guys. Give us, and it's not an excuse, but what don't we understand?
It's kind of game by game. The Fresno was obvious. The snapping issue, which created a bunch of opportunity for Fresno and points for Fresno. And then in Tech, we're midway through the second quarter, we're down our top five DBs, which is extremely hard, period. But against an offense like that, it's very challenging. And so there's just been kind of, the last 2 weeks especially, challenges that have been at certain places on the team that have affected us.
Yeah, and I think you're probably right. In the Fresno game, I look at the snapping and I'm going, there's got to be somebody on campus who can snap the football. Like, what is going on here? But it is not as simple as holding a tryout at halftime and getting somebody out of the stands to snap the football. I'm eager to see you guys on special teams. I've never said this before. I'm eager to see the first punt or the first field goal attempt that you have on Saturday because I want to see this.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. You go go get that Platypus trophy. Have a good week, and we will catch you next week, Coach.
I appreciate it.
All right. There goes Trent Bray, Oregon State football coach. Steven, I feel like he got some coaching. I think he was at his best. I have not heard him more engaged. There was a little laughter in there.
Yeah, that's what I noticed, John. There's a little laughter after you made a couple comments.
I'm not that funny. Okay?
No. But that's good. I mean, it shows that he's, or at least he's acting like he's interested in the conversation. I think that's a good start.
Empathy, I think, is undervalued in general. If you simply empathize with people in your own life, in your own household, your own coworker, the cashier you're dealing with who's having a bad day, if you can empathize a little bit with the people around you, you'll have greater understanding of the world. I think it is one of the easiest things in the world as a media member to sit back in the press box, eating your cheesecake, sipping on your soda, watching a football game, and criticize everything you see in front of you. We're all guilty of it. I think it's easy for fans to criticize what they see on the field as well. I don't like the sloppiness that we have seen in 3 weeks from Oregon State. I don't like their inability to snap the football against Fresno State. That game is a win. They statistically dominated Fresno State, and the people at Fresno State who I really trust, the coaches on that coaching staff that I've known for years, I bumped into him on the field, John Baxter, one of them, the special teams coach at Fresno State, and I just walked by him, and I said, hey, congrats, and he stopped me for a second, and he said, hey, how's your family and everything, and I said, hey, they couldn't snap the ball, and he said, there's no joy in winning like that. He knew that Oregon State was a better team, but Fresno State won the game. That has to stop, but I don't think we're going to see it this week, but I just think it's such an easy thing to nitpick and be like, you know, so-and-so coach must go, and it happens. People are reactionary, but I don't think Oregon State right now, if they had played their best football, I don't think they would be better than 1-2. I think that's the record. I think their talent level is a 1-2 team with the schedule they're playing this year. I had originally picked them to beat Cal, and then I saw Cal, and I went, ooh, Cal's pretty good. I think Cal's going to win a bunch of games. And so we're not going to learn it this week. I don't even think we're going to learn it next week because Houston's pretty good, and they might lose these next two. But we're really going to figure out if he was able to coach and hold a team together when they play at Appalachian State, when they play at Tulsa, when they have Lafayette at home, the home-and-home with Washington State, Wake Forest at home. These are games that I would expect Oregon State to win or be right in if they play their best football. We shall see what happens. I want to go to the phone lines. We've got some people who've called in. I believe it's Reese in Portland. Welcome to the show. What's up, man?
John, if this gig at 7:50 the game doesn't work out, they've got a place for you as a studio host on Beaver Radio. I just got in my car. The apologism is insane. The last question you had for Trent Bray was the only one I heard, and it was basically, hey, Trent, take this time to give all the listeners your best excuse. Come on, man.
Wait, you only heard one question. Wait, you heard one question. At least be fair over here.
After the one question, John,
go ahead.
You then gave him a fake win. Now they're now 1-2 somehow. I mean, come on, John.
No, I didn't give him a fake win. I said they have their talent level should be 1-2. They should be 1-2, and they're not. They weren't beating Texas Tech, okay? They're not beating Oregon, and
sure,
they're not going to beat Cal.
What are we doing here? We only start throwing out words like empathy unless things are really dire.
Okay, wait a minute. You said you only heard one question.
That whole question just blew up the entire interview. Come
you only heard one question.
Big J journalism, John. You know
that. Listen. Bottom line is, this team blew it against Fresno State. I ripped him after the Fresno State game. I'm not ripping him for anything more than bad effort against Texas Tech. And if they don't play with effort against Oregon, that's going to be embarrassing.
I'll push back on it, John, because you said you expect them to lose that Houston game. They need to be competitive in that Houston game. They need to compete for a win in that one.
I can't see them winning is what I'm saying based on how they played.
But that's a middle-of-the-pack Big 12 team, if not lower, average, below average team.
They're not
Big
bad.
12.
They're not bad.
Terrible, no. But,
yeah, they're not bad.
But it's at Reser. It's at home. You need to compete in that game and keep that one close, or else, I mean, that's a game that you, if you're trying to be a team that is competing for anything, you beat Houston, or you at least come close in that one. They got to play hard in that one. They got to come close.
They got to play hard in every game. If they don't play hard in any of these games, they get no pride from me. Like, you go out and roll the ball out and don't play hard. I didn't like the effort against Texas Tech, but I can tell you, they played like a team that knew they couldn't win the game. And
Houston's not as good as Cal. So you need to be in this game. You need to be in that one.
I think Cal's pretty good. I think Cal's going to win eight or nine games. Like, they're pretty good.
I think they're going to the ACC title game.
I underestimated Cal. And I'm watching Cal now. I agree with you. I think they'll go to the ACC title game and probably lose. But they're going to get in there. But I look at Texas Tech. Texas Tech is probably the first or second best team in the Big 12. I think I'm going to take Utah over Texas Tech, but I'd put them second. And you're not beating Texas Tech, not at Texas Tech. You're not winning that game. And so my record for Oregon State at this point, like, if you're being real, like, what should their record be? Nobody's giving them a fake win, Reese. Their record should be 1-2, and they're 0-3. So that's not good. But I think that you have it's very easy to sit back in the press box and tickle your navel and eat cheesecake and go, these guys suck, when you don't have the understanding of, like, hey, the schedule was thrown together in a way where, like, they didn't, like, maybe they should have played Sac State or Portland State in week one or week two. Maybe they should have had, maybe it shouldn't have been Cal right off the bat. Maybe it should have been Sac State and Fresno State, and they would have been 2-0. Like, it's so there's a little bit of a, like, let's be real about this. Oregon played Montana State. Oregon played Oklahoma State. Okay, then Oregon played at Northwestern. Oregon State has played Cal, Fresno State, Texas Tech. Who's had the harder schedule, right? But Oregon State's team's not as good as Oregon's, nowhere near as good. They're not going to be close to Oregon on Saturday. Oregon's going to beat them like 49-7, and they're going to be 0-4. But should Trent Bray be fired for that? For which game? The one game he should have won?
But the problem, John, is there is empathy going on right now in the program. And there's some fans that have it, and I think some fans are growing to that. And so you have to show something. You have to show it quick, or else I just think fans are old. I mean, we've already seen the
stadium. You got to give them something.
The stadium hasn't been full already. It's going to get even less full if they keep losing and keep not competing. That's what I'm saying. It's got to be that Houston game. You have to play well in that one to get any type of life in your fan base.
Yeah, and then you go to Appalachian State, and let's face it, that is not an easy place to win.
No.
And you go there, and if you're 0-5 going there, I worry that you lose the team. And then all of a sudden, you're looking at Wake Forest. Then, by the time you get to the easy part of the schedule, which is like the Lafayette, Tulsa, the home and home with Washington State, do you have control of the locker room? And that is the big question at Oregon State. We'll continue this conversation, and we'll talk about the Ducks, because I think there's questions for Dan Lanning and the Ducks as well. You got the Bald-Faced Truth statewide. Leave it here.